great things have happened in this past year, and who knows what's going to happen in this next year. Only God knows. We might have some plans, might have some dreams and some goals, some ideas, but only God knows. Isn't it great that He knows everything for us? Not a whole lot to go over with you about this coming week, about events and things. I think the church office is closed again tomorrow. Be open Tuesday, maybe? The rest of the week. Kim will be in the church office the rest of the week. And then Pastor's still away, so y'all keep him in your prayers. If you've got Facebook, you've been able to see his pictures and his posts and how much fun that is. And I told the first service, if you don't have Facebook, find somebody who does that can show you some of his pictures and some of the things that he's doing and some of the fun he's having. It's quite adventurous. And then I think on the second Sunday of January, the 14th, we will have a business meeting after each service. And the purpose of that is to vote on the new bylaws. And it's a secret ballot vote, so all you have to do is check yes or no. And then if you haven't had a chance to read those bylaws, I'm sure you can get a copy of them or find them somewhere. So if you haven't read them, I would say get a hold of them and read them, because they're important for what we do here in the worship service. So all of that being said, that's all I think we got to say about announcements. Shall we find somebody you haven't spoke to this morning and tell them you're glad they're here to worship with you this morning, and then in a few minutes we'll get back together in our regular seats and we'll start just praising the Lord and worshiping Him. So y'all get up, greet somebody, and give them a good welcome to y'all. I feel Jesus.
we just thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord, and bringing us in your house to worship you, Father. We just thank you for this time that we can sing praises to you, Lord, and that your name can be lifted high. Lord, everything we do in this place this morning, may it honor you and glorify you. May it be pleasing to you, Father. Lord, as we come to a time of giving, I just pray that you would bless the offering, Lord, and that you would use it to advance your kingdom, Father. And I pray that you would just bless those that are giving. And Lord, just bless the gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
wonderful, powerful name that name of Jesus is. And as the band is played, there's power in that blood that was shed just for us. You know, the wonderful holiday we just celebrated of the birth in the manger and of Jesus coming down as a tiny baby through a virgin womb, something so miraculous that only God could do that, no other way. But the wonderful thing about it all was that it didn't end there. He lived and walked among us, and he taught us, and he showed us how to forgive, and he showed us how to love, and he showed us how to be a community with those who were unworthy, those who didn't know him, those who didn't have the same raising as the other Jews did, those who didn't know that there was a hope because he hung on the cross one day for all of us. So let's continue to worship him and praise him this morning as you stand and sing. Sing and give him glory and honor.
Thank you. Father, we thank you for your never-ending love for us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that we so take for granted because we are so undeserving. It's just like it's part of our life, and so we forget to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. And that things didn't just come to the manger and it was over. But the cross happened, and we have a chance for eternity to be with you forever and ever. And as we go this life's journey, Lord, we just pray that you guide us and direct us and give us strength and show us the way. Show us how to be more loving, how to be more forgiving, more accepting, less expectant on things that we feel like we're entitled to, but to be humble. Be humble in your presence each day. And then as we rise each morning, then we can say it's because at that cross that your blood ran red, but our sins were washed white when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Thank you that Pastor Kerry is away and having the time of his life, Lord, and we can't wait for him to get back and to share more of his experiences with us. But Lord, today, whatever we brought into this sanctuary, whatever we were thinking about this morning, or whatever we think we got to do this afternoon or tomorrow or the next day, or whatever problems we might have carried with us through to the new year, Lord, I pray that now all of that stops, all of that ends, all of that goes away for this next few moments as Pastor Tony comes and he breaks open your word and he shares with us how faithful your promises are. How you are always going to be the God you said you're going to be. Anointed Lord, let us spend this next 30 minutes just focusing on you and your word for us. In Jesus' holy name. Anybody need some glasses so you can see what you're reading? Everybody? Okay. Somebody lost them, left them or something.
That's one of the things that I so enjoy about being in heaven is when I see all the children that are involved in the ministries here. You don't realize how critical that is. Johnny and I were talking, my joy, during Sunday school hour, that the sign of a healthy church is a lot of children. To be honest with you. And there's so few of our churches and our association are doing that. Years ago, when I was pastoring down in Lawrence, we had no children in the beginning, but over the years, the Lord blessed us with many children. Today, one of their great aspirations is their children's and youth ministry. As you have here at Bellevue, when I see that Jamie's having 50 youth on Wednesday night, that's my reaction. I'll be frank with you. That's a healthy church. Because again, I can take it all the churches in our association. Otherwise, ain't nobody doing nothing well. Okay? That's a criticism. But to challenge people, you got to criticize what you're not doing. I'll be frank with you. So I'm excited about being part of it. I'm a member here. I'm just never in attendance. Okay? Because I'm always somewhere else, I'm told. We have 16 churches in our association. I try to be at all those churches twice a year. You do the numbers, okay? Only leaves me so many weeks to be here at Bellevue, but I enjoy it when I'm here. I do need to preach, and I'm down in Vicaria as his way. Pray for Kerry. He's having, as you said earlier, DVD of the time of his life. I saw on Facebook this morning before I got to the church that he was at the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized. I baptized my wife there several years ago. She in turn baptized me with the help of another pastor, a big boy, okay? But I remember being in Bethlehem and going into what is perhaps the major area, a cave where Jesus was born, and sitting there and pondering those moments. I'm telling you, Kerry will never be the same. I've said it over and over again. Every pastor in the early days of his ministry, need to go to the Holy Land and to experience firsthand the things things he knows by reading the Bible and studying God's Word, but to be there and to know you're walking where Jesus walked. You're doing some of the very same things that Jesus did. Oh, incredible experience. So, thank you for letting him be away. You'll have a better man when he gets back. Okay? Maybe toot one more time. Terry did last week and then the first service. Hearts for School is one of our associational pet projects that my wife kind of heads up for us. We're in the school system here every day in some way. We minister to the staff people, almost 400 staff members, from the custodians all the way through the superintendent. We're trying to be present there. We're in the elementary school doing 60 backpacks a week that you help us make happen. Blessing it is for those children to have food every week to make sure the weekends are good for them. And then right now we're doing a thing called tutoring. And Carrie's one of those tutors, helps us as well too. I'm one of those, my wife does. We work with third graders who are reading below grade level. And because of law now, if they're not reading on grade level at the end of the school year, they repeat the third grade. There's 90-something children at the elementary school that are not reading on grade level. We're enhancing probably around 30 to 40 of those right now. We would like to do more of that. So please come be with us. If you heard Kerry's message last week, which I did, he talked about one opportunity he had during the holidays to bring the Christmas story into a child's life. So I know what the law says. I was married to an educator, have been almost 44 years now. But I know what we can do as people when we are involved in the lives of others as well. And I want to say one more thing. I got to this, Vicki. I thank you for Vicki and the music ministry she's had here at Bellevue, for your musicians and the great guys who sang this young lady who sang this morning. What a wonderful voice. But I also love the words in print on the screen while they're singing. Why? You don't realize those words are ministering to your heart as much as your voice is. Okay? So everything you do enhances the worship experience. So I am so thankful for the music ministry and how you carry it out here, because it does make our lives richer because of that. Now bow. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. I know I'm a paid employee, you might say, of this association, but Father, this is my church by choice. This is where I want to live the rest of my days, by choice. So, Father, help me today just be part of this church family and to enrich the lives by what you have shown me in Scripture to be the truth. Father, we've just experienced the high holy days of Christmas. Those exciting times, Father, when the babe was born in Bethlehem. And praise God, he did not stay an infant. He grew into adulthood. He became a man, transparent, whose life enriched not only the people of that day, but some 2,000 years later, still doing it in this era. So, Father, please bless this message. I have little to say that I know, but you have everything to say, which you know. So, Father, speak to the hearts and lives of these people and help them draw closer to you as they begin this new journey in 2018. And we pray this to be done. In Christ's name, amen. Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. Carry with me there. Carrying and preaching through Matthew's version of this experience, I want to go to Luke just because it talks about a story that I love so richly. It's a story about Simeon. Now, why do I do that? Because Simeon reminds me of me. He's an old man, okay? But he's doing something very carefully done. He goes every day to the temple. Now, why does he do that? Because he knows Old Testament prophecy. He knows Old Testament scripture. He's been awaiting the arrival of this Messiah, this Christ. Emmanuel, he's called God with us. And he's been anticipating this, we don't know how long, he doesn't say specifically, but a long time. And he goes daily. How long did he stay there? We really don't know. But I'm sure he's there for several hours, trying to be there when the time comes, because God has promised him he would bring that child into the world that would enhance the lives of people of that day. I said a while ago in my prayer, the day of today as well too. So if you have God's word, Luke Gospel, second chapter, go down with me to verse 21. Okay? On the circumcised the child. He was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph of Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Then there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation. What does that word consolation mean? It means it's a promise. God had promised Israel that one day they would have this king. They would have this savior. They would have this gift given to them. And Isaiah was not giving up hope. Let me ask you a question. How long at times in your life have you anticipated something to happen that has not yet happened? I bet you've waited for weeks or months, even years, quite frankly. I remember as a small child getting up to see my book catalog. Those of you who are my age can remember that. And looking through it, weeks at a time, over and over and over again, looking at that series of catalog. Why? Because I wanted something in there. Did I get it all? Never. But I did get something on occasion anyway. So that's what Simeon was doing, waiting for the promise that God had given him, the promise he knew was coming one day, somehow, some way, and he was waiting for it to take place. So there he sat, or there he stood, or there he was. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, and he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God and saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Can you imagine that? Waiting all of your life for something very special to be given, then all of a sudden, boom! There it is! Oh my goodness. It's almost like the day you got married and you stood at the altar, gentlemen, if I can use this expression for this moment, and you looked up the back of the church and you saw your bride walking down the aisle to you in that flowing white dress, and your heart just felt it because you knew all the time expectation had now become reality. Because she was become part of your life. What a precious moment that was. Kind of like the song we sang a while ago. What a precious moment this was for Simeon. Why? Because it was God's gift being revealed to the man who was anticipating the gift. It says in verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, and saying, and this is Simeon's prayer. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. Why? Because the Gentiles have been living in darkness for hundreds of years. But a light is shown to them. Hope, anticipation. When you feel that way as well, I would. It's like you've just been brought out of slavery. And now you have freedom. What a joy that was. And the glory for your people, Israel. Israel could see what God had promised them. Hope for the future. The child's father and mother marveled what had been said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that was spoken against." So what he's saying here is a cutting edge. This is a moment in time. There's going to be sheep and goats. There's going to be the righteous and the unrighteous. There's going to be the holy. There's going to be the unholy. Those are going to be saved, and those are going to be lost. And I dare say to you today, in our world, our culture, there are a lot more people that I'm afraid are lost than they are saved. We got a lot of church members that are lost. They may have walked the aisle at some point in time in their life. They may have even been baptized and become part of a church family. But they were never really committed to serving Christ. And I believe in my own understanding, unless you're serving Christ, unless you're honoring Christ, you're not following Christ. So what Simeon is saying, there's a dividing line here. He says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign to be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts, will be revealed. And he says this to Mary. Can you imagine saying this to a new mother, a new parent, and a sword? Will one day pierce your heart also. What is he saying? Mary, one day your son will go to a cross, a Roman cruel cross. He'll die for the sins of mankind. He'll die because that is his destiny. That is what God has made him here for, presented him here for. This passage is called the presentation. It is so because Mary and Joseph has presented help to Jesus to the church, to the presence of God, you might say. The scripture says here that there were a gift given because of this presentation of two young pigeons or two young doves. Why? Because Mary and Joseph were poor people. They were not really rich people at all. You find other songs written about the same scenario. One in Zechariah, one Mary herself says, called Mary in Matthew's gospel. But also you see this in the Psalms. Here is a commitment God has promised Simeon. A commitment that is not to be taken lightly, a commitment that is serious, and the commitment that Simeon wants to see fulfilled, a commitment that you and I have to fulfill as well too. Why? Because of who we are. Have you been anticipating this time in your life? I never did. As a young man, I was kind of rebellious. I was sitting drinking coffee with Johnny earlier. This dear lady came out from the first service who I did not recognize, but she told me who she was. And she told me that when you were young and used to visit Bellevue, you were kind of a rebellious child. I thought, I said, if you only knew how rebellious I was. Okay? I was a problem kid. Not a bad kid, but I was very mischievous, very much so. But thank be to God, even God uses people like that, somehow serving and glorify Him. And I guess because of those past experiences, I am more appreciative of what I have in Christ than a lot of people are. Because I don't take it for granted at all. Simeon had been promised this consolation, this gift, this comforter. He is called the Holy Spirit. And to me, that's so critically important. Why the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit works in our life to promise us and to show us and to reveal Himself to us. Down in verse 26 of the scripture we read, it says, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I like to be so in tune with God. The Holy Spirit teaches me things and shows me things that I need to be about. You see, a lot of people have what they call a hunch. They have a belief, a thought, a premonition perhaps in some ways. I don't believe that works in a Christian's life. I think a Christian is supposed to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that God works in his life to reveal those things. And when God says to do so, you're going to do it. Even though it may seem impractical and unreal, you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because God said for you to do that as well. That's what Simeon is doing. Can you imagine? Here he is in his latter days of life, being promised something that he could not understand because he had no basis to understand it. But here he is waiting on this coming Messiah. He's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. And after a while, I'm sure his neighbors and his friends and his family said, Simeon, just give it up. Go on about your business. You got too much to do to worry about this promise that may not come. My friend, Jesus is coming back. Yes. He has and he will come again. Now, when that is, I have no clue. But I know this. I want to be found glorifying him and serving him and doing whatever I can within my capability to do so. Now, I've said this before perhaps to some of you, but I love to sing, but I have no voice to sing, okay? My wife, who was a former music teacher, told me years ago, she says, you're monotone. You can't carry a tune if you have to. But I love to worship. Why? Because it makes me feel closer to God. So whenever I can worship with you or anybody else, we're going to have a good time in worship. Why? Because we should. That's what Simeon was doing. He was spending his latter days not out fishing or doing yard work or gardening or anything else. He was spending his last days of life doing what? What he knew was most important, that's spending your time alone with God. How do you spend your days? What are you doing in ministry? Somebody said, well, I'm retired. So what? I am too. This year I'll be approaching my 71st birthday. I do not want to retire from serving and glorifying God. Why? Why should I? I'm at the best knowledge of my lifetime. I'm in the best condition of my life, and not physically. I got a lot of ills and pains and all kinds of situations. But you know what? God lets me get through all of those. Why? So I can better serve Him. There are two things I want you to hear from me today. Not three like most bad scriptures preach, but just 2 points, okay? First of all, I want you to realize that Simeon saw God's salvation because he expected it. Now, how was Christmas for your kids or your grandkids? I remember one Christmas specifically. I was 9 years old. I grew up in a mill village in Greenwood. We had a 4-room house, 2 bedrooms, bedroom, and kitchen. I remember waking up on Christmas morning, going into the living room where the Christmas tree was. Back then it was a silver Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Go with me here, okay? Some of you remember those trees. Silver Christmas tree with one of those lights that had different colors on the little thing that went around. It was red, green, and blue. Okay? You coming with me? All right? And there was my bicycle. Silver and red. Oh, my goodness. My heart just burst with joy and excitement. I was getting that bicycle that I long had wanted. That's how Simeon felt in this moment. His heart was about to burst. The Messiah that had been promised to his people for generations, not just a few years, but generations, has now become reality. The Messiah is long-awaited Christ. It would be the salvation of Israel and for all people then, even today, was now reality. Luke writes in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for the people of Israel. Even today, Carrie's experiencing some of that darkness in Israel. We'd like to believe that all of Israel, because the knowledge you have about the Bible, is free. But a lot of them are held captive by their beliefs and by their consciousness and their awareness. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe he's come yet. They believe he's still awaiting his arrival. I believe he's already come, Scripture tells us. You see, the mass of people today in Israel, but also in America, and in South Carolina, and in Spartanburg County, are lost. So many people are living in darkness. You don't believe me? Go around the community sometimes. Just see where and how people are living. And you say, well, that's not my responsibility. Whose is it? The church was created for what purpose? To proclaim the gospel. How do we proclaim the gospel? We spread it around throughout the community. We do whatever we can to enhance people's lives. We allow the glory of Christ to be seen by others by the way we live our lives. To the Jews, he what? He gave hope. Jewish people lived in slavery all of their lives for decades, hundreds and hundreds of years. They lived in slavery. Now this Jesus will give them hope. What do we have to give people in our communities? I hope we give them hope. When people see us, I hope they see the love that we have in our hearts. But also we say it's here too. It was the cultivation, the fulfillment of the laws given to them, that the Christ who had been anticipated was now reality. He had come into the world. Why? He had come to do what was necessary. The scripture says here that specifically this baby was to be a dividing line. Simeon told Mary 2 very distinct differences. I've alluded to them, but let me remind you what they are. First of all, the baby would become a dividing line. You have family, just as I do. You have friends, just as I do, that are believers in Christ. Then you have some that are not believers in Christ, who won't darken the church doors, who don't want to hear about this gospel stuff we're talking about, who got their own life planned out before them, who have their own desires laid out before them, don't want to deal with this Christianity business. What is your desire for them? I would hope you want them to come to Christ. So how do you do that? You love them to the kingdom. You don't deny them. You don't ignore them. You don't avoid them. You allow your life to enhance their lives by the things you do to show them Christ living in you. You say, well, that doesn't make a difference. Well, doesn't it? Given time, it makes a great deal of difference. Why? Because people begin to see what makes a difference in your life may be important to them as well, too. This baby Christ was becoming a dividing line. The second as well, too. The scripture says here that Simeon told Mary, you'll have a painful time in your life. All of us here have had those moments. I told the early service this morning, my dad died at 52 years of age. Now, that to me was old at the time because I was in my 20s. But today it's young because I'm in my 70s. And I miss him greatly. And I still do today, and that's been some 45 years ago. Long time we would have a problem. But the joy I have from knowing who he was and what he stood for has reached my life even today. Because he was a man who loved God, served his Lord as best he could, best of my knowledge. But a man who honored his life by living it out best he could, being what he's supposed to be. I want to be like that. I hope you want to be like that. I want to be the best God wants me to be. Because I know this, Christ went to the cross, as Mary would soon learn, for one reason, to take away the sin guilt in my life. Now, you're saying, well, my sins aren't that bad. Well, my Bible says all sin is bad, whether it's little or big or dark or gray, it doesn't matter, it's sin. However, sin is not what we want to live our lives doing. There's a second thing I think is said here in Scripture. First of all, this Simeon is revealed certain things to Mary, but also the Spirit was active in Simeon's life. How was he active in Simeon's life? Well, you look at verses 25 through 29, there are four things that stand out there for me. First of all, Simeon went to the temple regularly, faithfully, Scripture says. Simeon was in church. Folks, we need to be in church. Okay? Now, it's holidays, and I know it's Christmas and it's cold. I understand that. But on a regular basis, you're believing in Christ, you need to be connected to some local church in some form or fashion. I'm not sure all your members, I don't know you well enough to know that, but I hope you are connected somewhere, somehow, in ministry. Why? That's crucial. Why? Because it enhances your life. How is the Holy Spirit going to be enhanced in you if you're not living your life based on what Christ would have you to do? Simeon was in constant contact with the Holy Spirit. How did he do that? Well, he read his Bible. The Old Testament for him was a Bible. It was scriptures he knew. It also reflected on other people. Carrie and I are involved in a group I started about a year ago now. Six of us. Seven was the number of one of them is leaving back to face his last day at his church, his pastor. But we meet twice a month. And we spend several hours together. We read books together. We study scripture together. We pray together. We reflect on each other's life. We call it life on life. Okay? Now, I mean, it's like this. You take that 45 minutes that you had in Sunday school and blow it up to about 3 hours. What would happen? What would be the difference there? I'll tell you what the difference is. You become more enriched. You are drawn closer than you would before. And what you learn, what you experience is enhanced. Dramatic. That's what Simeon was doing. And that's what we need to be doing as believers. So I don't have time to do that. Turn the television off. Get off the computer. Get off that Facebook page. Spend time with other people. You can reflect in your life. Those things are mechanical and just machines. And by the way, they're programmed to do what they want you to do and not what God wants you to do. So Simeon was enhanced by the presence of the Almighty. Simeon was also what? Holding tight to the knowledge he had. Now, was he an intelligent man? I don't know. Probably not, any more so than some of you are. And I say that because it doesn't take intelligence to be close to God. You're looking at somebody like that, okay? I'm one of those guys that got out of high school by the skin of his teeth. Got out of college by the skin of my teeth. Got out of seminary better than I did before. I'll say it that way. I'm not the smartest dude on the block, but I don't mind putting in the time, the effort, the energy to enhance whatever relationship I need to enhance. much doing that. You should be that way. Hey, well, I would say, well, I don't enjoy reading. Neither did I until the Lord saved my heart. I did not. I cannot tell you how many books I read as a teenager or even as a young adult until the Lord touched my heart. And now I read several books regularly all the time. Why? Because I want to learn more. I want to be richer. I want to be able to discuss and to adhere to certain kind of guidelines and knowledge. Why? That's what I'm supposed to do. As a believer, I have a responsibility to be able to communicate the gospel and share those things. But I also feel like Simeon did what else? He felt like God had shown him this revelation, this consolation, the scripture says, and now what happened? And now he would be different. Now the question is, what happened to Simeon afterwards? Well, we really don't know. We know that Simeon is here, but we don't have any other references to him later on. But I know this, whatever happened to Simeon, his life was enriched. Simeon was now ready to die. I'm not sure how often you've been around death, but after, well, I've been in ministry now for 36, 37 years, but after I retired from pastor, I became a hospice chaplain for about 3 years. My youngest daughter is now a hospice chaplain. She's going back to school to get another degree of some sort. You keep wondering, but, you know, that's the way it is in life. But anyway, this week she was at a home down below Woodrow. She works for the Upstate, she's from Gaffney to Greenwood to Woodrow to Spartanburg to Greenville. She was at a home close to Antioch Church. I don't know the family. You perhaps do. I'm not aware of what the names are, quite frankly. Now, sadly to say, the dynamics were very difficult. Parents had divorced years ago. There were two young daughters in the family who did not know their mother very well because they had lived with their dad most of their life. But the mother was a patient, and the mother was dying. Very difficult process. My daughter kept revealing to us kind of scenario. She called her daddy for advice. What do I do? What do I do? What do I say? But I'm trying to help her through this process. And finally, we got to the point. I said, A.B., you need to tell the husband, the father, and the children to tell the patient, it's okay to go. Okay? It's okay to go. A lot of people, believe me, are afraid of dying. Why? How many of us have been there and done that? I haven't. I only know what lies beyond there. And sometimes we need to tell those people it's okay to go. Because what lies after this is much better than we have here. Now why do I say that? Simeon was ready to go, but he also knew what was coming to him was much greater than he had here. Why? Well, he's elderly. He had lived his life. He was about to conclude what was there and left. And he was ready to go to the meeting with God. My friends, that's what you and I have looked forward to. That anticipation. So, in closing, what did God say through Simeon? First of all, he tells us, today reminds us, that a Savior has come. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about family and all the good things we've enjoyed, because I love the Christmas season. But it reminds us that Christ has come. It says it this way in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those of us who were lost. And all of us in this room were lost at one point in time in our life. We had no hope. Secondly, I think as well too, Simeon reminds us that God wants to be active in our lives. How he acted in our life, reading our Bible, praying together, being enriched by other people, doing life on life out of situations. Thirdly, he also promises that we can have what? We can have peace here and not worry about what lies beyond here. We can have peace forever. And lastly, he tells us what? He tells us that today you have this gift of salvation. So Simeon, he was a happy man because God had promised and God had delivered. What has God promised you in 2017 that he hasn't yet delivered upon? What has God promised you that lies ahead in 2018? Because you said it earlier. We may make plans. I've done a calendar for the year for the association. I've got all these things laid out. I have no idea if I'm going to live to see those things come to fruition. But I hope I can do what I can, as long as I can, as well as I can, to make sure that I'm serving and glorifying God. What are you going to do about 2018? How are you going to make this year the best year it can be in all of your life? Because you should. You know that. All those years that you've been living, all those experiences you've had, all those times you've learned from, should make you a better person, a stronger person, a more capable person, a better servant of Almighty God. The reason I'm here is not to have a family, not to be married, not to have a job or career or anything else. The main reason I'm here is to do what? Is to glorify God. That's the reason I'm here. To glorify God, to honor Him. I hope you're doing that today. Simeon did. I learned from his example. I hope you'll learn from the examples of people that have gone before you. Just like I have. I remember so clearly that I wrote in the press this morning from my home in Hickory Tavern that going to my aunt and uncle, Donald and Pauline Owens' house just down the road here, and being part of their Christmases with them. What joy that gave me. Do you know what? It's even more joyful now to be able to stand in a pulpit such as this. Or the other churches I'm serving in this community and to enhance the ministry that are taking place within our bodies. Why? Because that's God's promise to me through His Word, through the calling and knowledge. You're not called to be a preacher. Or maybe you're not called to be a musician. But you're called to be a servant. A servant of God. To glorify Him. And serving Him in some capacity, in some way, that enriches the kingdom of God. Just like Simeon did. Whatever God calls you to do, go and do it. And do it well. Father, thank you for the life of Simeon. A stranger to all of us. A man that none of us really knew formally, but we knew about the story he was. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have as believers to glorify you. Father, I thank you for the year this church has had. Many baptisms, many new additions. Thank you for all the gifts given, all the ministry opportunities have been enhanced. But Father, that was last year. In a new year of now builds before us. Let us, Father, do all we can to continue to serve you. Father, I believe this church has years to come of growth, of potential. If we keep our eyes fixed on you, not on people, because people disappoint. But you never disappoint. You never do anything but enhance and enrich the lives of folks. Father, I pray for this church congregation today. For all of the needs that are here. I don't know if they're saved or unsaved. I'm not sure if they're members or non-members. Father, it doesn't matter as such, but it matters to you. And Lord, I pray that you'll help these people get on board. That you'll help these people be committed. That you'll help these people be enriched, Father, to do the things that you have them to do, to serve and glorify you. Heavenly Father, I pray that our commitment for this new year would be sincere and it would be genuine, and we would do all we can to enhance the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all around this great land. And I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in advance, because I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is a time of commitment when you and I make decisions, either to say where we are, do the same thing we've always done, and expect different results, or to commit ourselves to live as a Christian should, serving, following, going forward. This is God's altar. He asks us to come before Him, to kneel, pray, to commit, to say, yes, I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that I glorify with my life. I pray that you'll do that in these days, that you'll commit to serve God in a way which enriches your life, your family's life, this church's life, this community's life, doing what you can, as best you can, to honor the God who saved you from yourself. Sins you commit. Will you stand with me as we sing? And invite you to come to the altar. I can pray with you. It'd be the truth. joy and delight to do that this morning.
Let him guide, let him teach, let him comfort
abundantly. But you've got to be the one to let him have control of your life. I want you to pray for my friend Chris. I'm not sure all of you know Chris Cornelius. He's been busy with you guys for a while. Chris is going to preach in one of our churches for a couple weeks. So pray for Chris as he goes to the ministries. God's called him to be a pastor. We know that. And I believe he's going to be a great one. You've got to find the right place at the right time, like all of us do, okay? Your care is not your own will, all right? God placed him here. I'm convinced of that. He is a man for the season of his church. So pray for Chris as Chris ministers in Jesus' name. Pray for all of our churches of our association. Some of them are healthy. Some of them are very unhealthy churches, okay? You're saying, what can you do? I have handcuffs. I can do very little unless I'm allowed to do that. A lot of times churches want to stay just the way they are. Why? Because they like being just the way they are, even though they're slowly dying and becoming ineffective for the glory of God. Pray for our churches that they become healthy this year. Somehow, they become what God wants them to be. Have a good day. Stay warm. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy committing yourself to a new year of prosperity, serving our God. Father, thank you for this church, for the leadership, not just here, but the deacons, the teachers, the workers, the servants, the music folk, everybody, Lord, that enhances your ministry here. Would you bless them bountifully? And would you enhance even more to come in the days ahead? Why? So we can, Father, see a church, this beacon on a holy hill, Father, ministering throughout this part of the state of South Carolina, doing tremendous things, Father, that glorifies you. Because, Father, darkness is all around us. Darkness is very evident. Help us be those who overcome the darkness by bringing light to the world. Thank you again. Bless Carrie and those who he's with and the team, Father. May their days be enriched. May their ministry be enhanced. May they come home safe and sound. And we give you praise for it all. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Going on with the rangers tonight?